Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is Meaningful Mischief. I'm Mary, and I'm here with my friend Stella and James. This is the best. So this episode, we're talking about pressure, uncertainty, the competing demands in life, the highs, the lows, whatever, and how we all deal with it. So I guess if you had to sum it up, we'd be talking about stress in some way, shape, or form. Because we all feel it. And I'll just start off by saying I have my own concern with the level of stress in the world. It seems like there's an energy vibe in the world that's people are stressed out, if not about their day-to-day situation, about the world, about the global economy, about politics and all the stuff. So there's just a lot of it going on. And what are our tools and ways for feeling stress and dealing with it? How about you guys? What makes stress or pressure, whatever the negative responses to those things, what makes it important to talk about?
Well, I think, we all experience it, right?
Yeah.
And in different stages, it can be something which just comes and goes for a day, or it can be something for, if it's through a bereavement or breaking a relationship or something like that, it can be something which is more long-term, like for a year or a period of time. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we can ever stop, or for me anyway, I don't think I can ever stop negative feelings coming in or feeling stressed or under pressure. But it's, for me, it's how I would deal with it or my mechanism to try and get back into a more positive state of mind.
Yeah, I think that's
so
a good point.
I think it's accepting that, you know, we're humans and we're going to have this, but it's then the process and how we deal with it to get back to a better feeling.
So tell me then. What is something you do? Well, first of all, what causes you to feel under pressure? Like, what are the things that trigger you?
It's always outside influences, right? So it's work, it's things that have happened with relationships or people or circumstances. Mm-hmm. And again, it's my own internalization of that event that then makes me feel like that. So right. It might not be from their point of view what they've done, but it's my internal perception
it's
of it
reaction.
That creates my feeling.
Right.
So it's the thoughts become feelings. But then the only way that I know to, you know, push myself out of that state or back up again is to go into an abundance of gratitude and outward giving.
Yeah.
So rather than, you know, when I've gone deeper into a negative thought where I start to think, why me? You know, I'm the victim. How's this happened? Why has this happened? And that only, for me, only takes me deeper into that state, mm-hmm. which sometimes you have to do because, you know, you have to go a bit deeper to come back up, which we've all been in this situation and shared before. But the only way for me to come back up is, to journal, to start to think about, you know, what I do have and what I'm lucky for and what I'm lucky for and what I'm grateful for, because we've all got things to be grateful for in our life, and it's then focusing on them,
yeah.
and the habits and meditation and gym, exercise is obviously
yeah.
a crucial thing. So focusing on all these things, which is difficult when you're in that negative. But if you then, you know, it's like when you're feeling low on energy, the last thing that you want to do is to go to the gym. But the one thing that's going to give you energy is to go to the gym.
Yes.
So it's the same thing, just focusing on the positive things and the gratitude and the great things that are in our life. Well, then, you know, for me, it takes me back up to a level state.
Yeah. I love what you said about focusing on others. And there's like a whole, I don't know, the Buddhists think it, but like we create our own suffering in a lot of ways by
mm-hmm.
self-focus. And in the last 100 years, we have, you know, at least in Western culture, we have more access to more material wealth than we've ever had,
mm-hmm.
you know, by and large, you know, food, shelter, clothing, all that stuff is taken care of for the most case. We're not surviving. And you would think then, therefore, that the rates of happiness would go up, but they've actually gone down because there's such self-focus. It's like now we're looking for, you know, fulfillment and reward, and we have these expectations that so there's a dissonance between, you know, what I'm living and what I think I should be living and all of that.
Completely,
and, and the antidote for that is to not focus on self, is to focus on others. And I've experienced that too in like really, really low moments. And I go to the place, I totally believe you have to go to the place and feel the thing. Now I'll give myself like 24 hours to just like soak in the self-pity or whatever. But I've been there before where I can't get out of it, or it's a really tough moment. And then all of a sudden I'll find myself in an environment, in a situation where I'm with other people and I'm dialed into them. And all of a sudden it alleviates all the stuff. And it's not because, you know, oh, there are other people worse off than you or anything else. It's just literally taking the lens off yourself and putting it onto the environment that you're in and something you can do. It's like,
what can I do to give more? What can I do to,
Like the sort of self-focus, we need other focus. We need just that quick flip of the switch, right? And the gratitude piece. I love that too. How about for you, Stel?
Which question?
Well, the first question, which was, why is stress? Why do you want to talk about this? What makes this matter to you as a topic?
So to me, this topic's huge. Oh. And, the example I can give is post-COVID.
Mm.
Okay, I don't know about you guys, but are you noticing that there's a lot more people on edge? A lot of people more worried about fear of poverty and cost, price of food, and
the world is on edge.
The world's on edge.
It does feel like that, yeah.
And statistically, there's more people with antidepressants and anxiety and everything.
Yeah.
The world is on
edge. It's not even just a feeling.
It's a fact, yeah.
The other thing I'm realizing is that any unresolved emotions that we haven't taken care of as individuals is coming to the surface.
Hmm.
Okay, and getting expressed.
At this time? Specifically?
At this time.
Okay.
And I don't know the exact statistics, but I know that mental health in my office, I've started seeing it because we started doing these screening tests on sympathetic responses, so the fight or flight response on people,
right?
Which you can't hide. Now, you can get a sympathetic response if you haven't slept well. You can get a sympathetic response if you are stressed out, but you can also get a sympathetic response if you are the type of person that goes, right? So you need a little bit of a history. But as we were doing all these screening tests post-COVID, it was at least 80% that was showing a positive response, at least.
Oh, wow.
And because we asked the question, what are your stress levels on a scale of 1 to 10? Because we're seeing this in your system, it was unbelievable what everybody was saying.
Right.
Okay. And it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of what to do about it, yes, right? The state that we're in, so gratitude. So we all have the access. We've talked about, you know, Tony Robbins, and he's all about being in a resourceful state. And
I'm a huge fan, as you know.
Yep. And then, you know, putting those emotions, because what you think about, what you feel becomes reality. But sometimes it's easier said than done, right? And we also are big with Keith Cunningham.
Love him, too.
Okay, so one of the things Keith Cunningham said is your three major breaks away from greatness. And by breaks, he means like hits, like you, where you're stressed out.
Big
or
stress.
Happy. Yeah. And you know, you hear the word,
right?
You hear the word, depressed.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think he was the one that said it, but somebody said, if you break down the word, what you need is deep rest.
Hmm.
Okay. To get away from your monkey mind, to actually tap into what's important, what to be grateful for. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the process is to support you. For me, the morning ritual is everything.
Do you a morning ritual?
Yes.
Tell us more.
So
I don't know
early.
About this yet. Okay.
Okay. So I'm up 5:15.
Yeah.
Meditation happens in the morning. Work.
How long do you meditate?
I try half an hour. I mean, I ideally like it to be an hour, but 20 minutes to half an hour.
Is this mindfulness meditation? Like just focusing on breath kind of thing?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes. 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 I've tried different ones. Yeah. I've tried different ones. And again, people ask me all the time, what should I recommend? It's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I've done what's called Vipassana, which is 10-day meditation retreat, where literally you're just in the zone, right? So you're in no space, no time. But 20 minutes to 30 minutes of meditation, workout 3 to 5 days a week. I juice every morning,
mm-hmm.
okay? So that's part of the ritual. And it just, it puts me in a, and journal, okay, but it puts me in a state of I'm ready, like I'm open, right, and I'm ready.
I do think there's a huge, so if we can double click on that point for a sec, I think there's a huge opportunity for people, because often we let the world and life happen to us, and I wake up more days than I don't, and don't do the priming of, you know, setting up the day and getting myself sort of...
I hope you wake up more days than you don't.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, I don't think you've not had a day yet where you haven't woken up.
No, more days than not, I wake up and just let the day take over.
Yeah.
I should say that better. Anyway, and when you do that, you're basically just inviting this autopilot, and you're letting the world happen to you versus letting, you know, managing yourself and, you know, managing how you want to see the world. Right.
Yeah.
So that's a huge part of it, like setting yourself up it to be in the right state to manage. So you're in a grateful state. You are, you know, well rested, well fed, all those things. Your mind is at rest. What do you?
Nothing.
Okay.
I'm filtering right now.
You are? You're not supposed to. Oh, maybe
I
you are.
So I can't, I have to.
Okay. Okay. At any rate, I think that that's a really important point to make, because it's not just the reaction, because we can talk about the stressor, whether it's like an acute stress, like something really bad happens, you get in a car accident, and then what do you respond? How do you respond? But just the way you wake up and see your day in your life and what filters you're using. Like if you wake up and say, today's going to be a shitty day, you're going to find 12 reasons to validate that point. If you wake up and say, I'm grateful for all these reasons, then you're going to see the day through that filter as well.
Yeah.
So I just think what you're saying about starting your day off right is super important.
Yeah,
it's tough though, because you don't, anything with mental health or how you're thinking or feeling in a negative way is not something that you can see, right? So if you've broken your arm, someone can come and see that you've got, you know, a sling on and go, you know, do you need help with that? Or so it's really difficult because other people can't see it when you're feeling it. And also, even though you have a routine, and let's say that, you know, something happens and today you feel really crappy, and you might say, right, tomorrow I'm going to start a really positive habit, and I'm going to do my meditation, I'm going to do da-da-da-da-da. The next day doesn't mean that you're going to feel better. Like, and it's difficult because you have to, and I had a really tough few months in the summer, and I was really doubling down on my routine, and I was waiting to start to feel better, and it didn't come.
Yeah,
and you keep going, okay, I'll do more and I'll give more and I'll give more, and then all of a sudden something happens and you goes, ah, I feel like life, it's not actually, it's a circumstance that happened for me that then makes me feel better. It wasn't that I woke up and all, oh, I feel great today.
Yeah,
it's just you know, like they say, life happens for us, right? So I think that it's the good things then come because you've then focused on, you know, the giving and the habits and...
Yeah, I think it's a really good point you make about how, and sometimes you can't control it, that you're in a funk for all these reasons and you can't get out of it. And so it's not like, yeah, thanks guys for telling me to, you know, make a gratitude journal and I'm going to be all better. Like, it's not always that. It's kind of like the, what tools do you have at your disposal in order to manage some of this stuff better and differently.
That become a habit and a practice.
Yeah.
That we should actually embed them now and not wait to feel crap. We should be embedding them now as a daily practice and routine.
Like, I think all of us would agree that the growth that we've had and why we are who we are and the gifts that we have today and our strengths and all of that come from stress. They come from moments of growth. You know, there's different versions of stress and pressure and challenge, but even some of the really worst things that happened to me are things that have made me who I am, and I'm grateful for them today, right? And then, you know, we grow as a result of it. So sometimes being in the soup, and I think, you know, even in the summer when you and I were talking, or like, you know, we were talking about it, you knew you were in that space and you knew you'd get out of it, but you also kind of knew that wherever you were going to land as a result of it was going to be a better place because of it, in a way, even though you were still in it and you couldn't.
And we knew, we all know that we have to go through it.
Right.
Well, it's that's not true. The right mindset, I think, is that it's just part of life. And the downs is where the goodness and, you know, the organic nutrients are that you take to help you come back up.
Yeah.
But it's still tough at the time.
Yeah. Totally.
But what about you? What's your...
Oh, okay. So a couple of things that I do, and I'll like, let's separate stress for me, or and we'll call it stress, but like there's the acute stress of I'm going to be late for a meeting and I'm in traffic and I can't change that. And I'm like, yeah, like in that moment, I mean, I have a yoga practice. I teach yoga. I know the benefit of breathing, right? So there's something you can do that just changes your whole physiology, like 3 deep breaths, lower your heart rate, lower your blood pressure, lower your anxiety, and even stimulate attention processing. So your brain grows as a result of breathing deeply. So I didn't know I was doing this, but I'll find myself in stressful situations taking deep breaths, which is so powerful. Like, we're not leveraging the power of breath in our world nearly as much as we could. The other thing you can do, and I learned this on Huberman, because he's a visual guy, right? Is the same thing you do with your breath, you can do with your vision. So when we're in fight and flight mode, you should be talking about this, not me, but you can tell me if I'm wrong. I've got a vision expert here, so I'm going to talk about that. But you narrow your focus. It's like you're ready, you shut, like your peripheral vision goes away. Mm-hmm. You focus on one thing. And so we live in that. Like, that's not just like running away from a tiger, like, you know, hundreds of years ago. Today, we live in that sort of stressful, deadline driven, there's too much to do and not enough time. So we're kind of like narrowing our focus all the time. So if you just open your peripheral vision and you start to, instead of looking at one thing, you see your whole self in the frame, then it has the same effect on your biology that the breathing does. It lowers heart rate, lowers blood pressure, all that, which is why often people, when they're out looking at the ocean, they calm down or whatever. So we have those tricks that are kind of for in the moment.
It changes your physiology as well.
It changes your physiology. Yeah. And so then you feel better. And so you're like, okay, now I'm not physically feeling the pain of stress. And then you can think about it differently and all of that. So that's one thing I would do in the moment. Or like, you know, you're frustrated in a meeting, I don't know if that ever happens, or whatever, right? Like so I'll do that. The other thing I'll do, and like when you hit some of the bigger losses, like we lost a client this year that was a big client for us for a few years, kind of like one of our foundational ones when I started the business. And they were, for many reasons, wrong fit client, wrong fit work and all of that. But you still feel like a loser. You're still like, oh man. Couldn't I figure that out? And when they fire, like, I'd rather fire you than you fire me, you know?
There's like rejection and everything.
Yeah, there's rejection. And then you're like, I'm not good at this thing I said I was going to. Like, there's all of that
your
stuff
question,
goes through.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're embarrassed and and you're like, oh, is that going to be on my reputation? So all of the doubt stuff comes up. And I really have a hard time getting out of it in the first 24, 48 hours. Like, I'm like, I just got to feel this shitty stuff for a while. But then what happens in my brain, and I don't know if it's all of our brains, I start to think about the learning in it. And I start to think about the, like, this wasn't good for us anyway. And we should really be moving in this direction. So all of a sudden, I change how I think about it and that it's better for us in the future. And I'm not coaching myself to do that as much as it just naturally happens. And all of a sudden, I have all this focus on future momentum and where we're going, and then see you later. People that weren't right fit for us anyway. And it actually gives me more juice for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, there's a whole transformation that happens inside. And I know I need to sink in the bad feeling first. And then I'm ready to go, okay, now what am I going to do about it? And it might be because, you know, one of my drivers in life is just to enjoy life and be happy. That's in the print profile. But I don't really like being in that negative place. So my brain works pretty hard to tell the positive, like not the positive story, but the next level thing. And then of course all the habits, I do believe, like, you know, being healthy, well rested, all those things do help. But, there's definitely the way we explain the events in our life. And there's some really good research done by Marty Seligman. It's not a new book. It's called Learned Optimism. He was the head of the APA in the kind of late 90s, the American Psychological Association. And he did a study around, first it was depression. He was studying depression, but then he realized there was a link between optimism and pessimism and depression. So pessimists tend to be more depressed. Then he realized that there are certain ways that optimists talk about events in their life and pessimists talk about events in their life. And when you can change the way you talk about an event in your life, you can change your response to it. And it's pretty powerful stuff because we think the thing's happening exactly as we see it and explain it to ourselves. But the thing happened and we explain it to ourselves. So, you know, an example would be if something good happens to a pessimist, they think it happened for just no reason. They aren't the driver of it. An optimist will be like, that good thing happened because of me, because of something I did, even if it was 12 years ago, to set myself up for that thing. So it's really powerful to be able to talk yourself out of it. And you do that by, what's the bad thing that happened? Noticing it. What do I think about that thing today? Like, I lost a client, I must be a loser. How do I feel about feeling like a loser? Yeah. Not good, I feel helpless, I feel like I've done the wrong thing, I need to change careers, whatever. Then you argue with yourself. You argue with that, and you have all this evidence that shows, wait a second, I have all these other clients, I've been doing this for 20 some odd years, and generally people are happy and I'm successful and all that stuff. I'm like, huh. Then you notice the energy shift. I'm like, well, actually, I'm not in that bad of a situation. This is just a moment in time and there's all these reasons. Then you feel better. You feel like empowered and all of that. So it really, you can go through, it's called the ABCDE system. We can put it in the show link, the show notes, but the power of what you say to yourself.
Yeah, that's interesting.
We're just not super deliberate about it. Anyway, that's that.
Before Stell jumps in, because I know he's got like 20
I know, he's making notes and stuff too, yeah.
But what do you think about when in this situation, discussing it with, like, sharing it with people, like how you feel, like how important do you think that is?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because for me, it's important. If I hold it in, I bury it and it becomes worse. If I can discuss it with people and share how I feel, and then it doesn't really matter so much about them giving me advice, because there's not really much that they can say, depending on the reasons why.
Yeah.
Because you've just got to just go through it and deal with it yourself. But the fact that I've shared it with somebody gives me, like, I almost feel like I've released part of it out.
Mm-hmm.
But what about for you?
That's interesting. So, and I don't know if this has any, I'm an extrovert. So, like, I think out loud.
No.
I tend to think out loud, and I'm pretty aware of what I'm feeling to be able to say it. So for me, I find it very therapeutic to talk about it.
Like the one with the work. So did you discuss that with people?
I think I probably did some of the internal work myself. That's a good question. I might have done the, like, self-shaming pity moments on my own. And I might have said to people, well, of course I went through this whole thing, just like I talked about now. And then I have a team of people I'm wanting to work through the transition too. So then when I talk about that, I wonder if I'm more about the solution at that point.
But not work, because work is kind of like they all share the same loss. So anyone outside of work, would you have gone, I had a crappy day the other day because, mm-hmm. like, I mean, it doesn't have to be specifically on this, but would you share?
It depends. That totally depends. Okay. You know what? I have a high degree of self-reliance stuff too. So I tend to work through stuff.
Okay.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
Okay, over to the Greek.
I clam up like a...
You don't. Yeah.
Well, okay. So there's a couple of things that I'm drawing here. So I wrote down safety first.
Hmm.
So one of the things that helps me, because you said, what are the things that help you, you know, deal with stress?
Yeah.
Environment, people that I trust and I can talk to, that there's no judgment and the space can be held for me to express, is huge. As you know. Mm. Okay. I'll call you in Dubai going, what the frick's going on here? And it's not like you're telling me what to do, because you can't.
Yeah.
But holding a safe space, and all of a sudden now I do think through it, but I need someone to hold the space for me to think through it.
Okay.
The other thing, and again, it's like all the things that we do with, you know, strategic coach, and it's an environment that has a vibe or a frequency that's conducive for there to be, beyond safety,
right,
is vulnerability.
Yeah.
Okay. So now if I'm able to open up and express, because a lot of the things that are going on in my head, I can't even understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond the vulnerability piece, then becomes authentic expression, where that's why, like, you guys say certain things and it triggers in my brain so that I can express what it is that I feel to express in this moment. So I wrote down the triangles. First, it's physical. And that's what we talked about, the morning ritual and working out and eating well. And it's the foundation of everything. Then it's emotional, which is now the part that you're asking the question, how do you deal with it? Everybody deals with it differently. But then the mental piece is, what am I reading? Who am I around? Who am I surrounding myself with? So when you say, am I going to open up? The majority of the people in my life right now, I wouldn't. Okay. But the ones that are close to me, I do, mm-hmm. because I know I can get the deeper learnings and I have to discover what that is.
Yeah,
and when
space.
I do, when I do, it actually impacts me, which ultimately impacts a lot more people, because then it adds to my story, which is what you keep referring to, right?
Right.
And one of the things that came up, well, you tell me, but you say, what do you ask people when you're doing the story branding? The three
Yeah. So if I really want to get deep into why someone is the way they are and how they landed where they are and why they're doing their thing, I will ask them about the moments in their life, three key decisions or events in their life that made them who they are. And then when they go through that, I'll ask them, you know, so who were you before that and who are you because of that? And then through all of that, we both have a shared experience where this, the, you know, you learn about yourself in a different way by talking about those events that way. And then I can glean really what's driving you deeper inside than the, I'm an optometrist who does neurovisual therapy and transformations with people. Like, I can get to the depth of it. What's interesting about this to me is that how many people in the world, I mean, we're super lucky to, like, to be on this frequency, to connect with each other, to be in this space where you can be completely who you are and go deeper, and we're interested in that and all. Like, how many people in their lives feel like, for most of us, like, if you have a responsibility to the person and they to you, it's hard to share some of that, like with your spouse as an example.
Yeah, because
you know, you don't, you want to protect them, you don't want to, like, there's these roles that you play, or with your kids or your friends, even like in the kind of community of my, you know, in the community that I live in, you know, there's a certain way that I show up there, and maybe it's different than here, right? So how many people have that safe space where you can be vulnerable and
I mean, we're like three kids just geeking out talking about meaning and purpose.
I know.
And that's, you know, so
you do that all day long. Right, here we are. Yeah. Who has that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think when we were kids, we did, and then life happens, and we go to work, and then we end up associating with people because of work. So then it's difficult. Like, for me, the people I hung around with when I was a teenager, I was able to, like, it was golf or if it was gaming, the people around me did that. But then I go off and do work, and I lose contact with them people, and I end up going off, the only thing we have in common is work.
Yeah.
And then, you know, luckily I found you two other geeks.
No,
you know,
so
20
fun.
Years later.
Yeah. I know, right? Well, that's so true. Like, so many people in my life wouldn't be having this conversation. They certainly wouldn't be like, hey, let's go create a podcast to talk about these things.
I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
So when you ask that question, how many people answer it with positive things that happen in their life, or impactful and pivotal, not negative, but I mean, heavy, heavy stuff?
I love that you asked that question.
So, I know I answered, but I don't know if that was typical. Like, what do you...
Well,
kind of
so... Every story has change in it, and every story has drama in it, right? Like, it's not a story if it was like, I went to the zoo and I came home and nothing happened in between, right? So if somebody gives me positives, and you might remember, because you're like, you know, I did really well in sports, and then I got into optometry school. I'm like, well, where's the struggle? Because it is through struggle that you change and transform.
So you're looking for it.
I am looking for it, because I'm like, if you gave me... and. It's very typical for the first answer to be the highlight reel. It's like, well, I achieved this, and then I did that, and then blah, 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 you know, and then you have to dig a little deeper for some of the other things. And it is always a struggle of something, and it could be internal. It could be a identity struggle. It doesn't need to be an external thing, but there is always something.
Because that shows it brings out the character, right?
Yeah, it's the now I know myself differently than I did before. You need to have change, and what forces change? It's usually not repeated success over and over and over again, right?
Yeah.
So what I love about this is, going back to pressure, stress, whatever, is there is this sort of pushing away of stress, like it's bad and we're resisting it. One of my favorite lines from a book is Scott Peck. He was a psychologist in the 80s, and he wrote The Road Less Traveled.
Mm-hmm.
The first line in the book is, life is difficult. And, you know, it's the greatest truth in the world, because once you realize that life is difficult, then all of a sudden that's not the subject of the story anymore. It's like, we're now living in the context that life is hard. What are you going to do with it?
Mm.
Right? And so stress, and maybe not stress, like, I do believe that chronic stress is bad. I mean, I live in this world of, you know, people measuring cortisol levels and making sure that everything, you know, and the cost that that can have to the physical body and aging and all of that. So chronic stress isn't good, and you do need your tools for dealing with that. But generally, being under pressure, the moments in my career where I grew the most was when I felt like I was in a pressure cooker and I had no choice. And then all of a sudden you find the release valves, you find those moments of growth, right? And so to me, if you can even say the words that it's a good thing, I mean, you know, we've all gone through transformational moments. You're coming out of one.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, you've already even said it. Like, your business is going to be so different as a result of this, and you wouldn't have gone down that path if you didn't go through this incredibly.
And you look back and you try and find, but it takes work, but you find the key nuggets in there that you then say, I'm glad I've gone through that.
Yeah. And you can almost become proud, and you find the learnings in it. You're like, oh, now I know a different part of myself I didn't know before.
I mean, it's like relationships and breakups. And I've been on the wrong side of breakups before. Mm. And at the time you're going, you know, I would do anything to get back with that same person. But it's only then when you meet the next person, you go, well, you know, I'm so much happier now.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that happened but at the time, and you go through that hell of, you know, rejection and, you know, all these different things.
Like love lost and sadness and all those things.
But then it's only when this new thing happened that you're able to look back and reflect and go, I'm, you know, I would do anything for that to happen again, because I wouldn't have the level of happiness and enjoyment that I have right now.
Totally. When you think about it, you learn in relationships, you learn who you are and who you shouldn't be with. And so, like, having the bad ones is way more important than having a stream of good ones.
Yeah.
Right? That's so cool. So, the way that this is breaking down, there's those like chronic or those acute stressors that we want to manage in the moment, right? And so how do we do that? Then there's like life changing things that cause longer periods of distress or whatever it is. Then there's like dealing with the world. So I like to be positive. I like to be happy. When people want to bring like, do you have people who come in and talk about politics with you and they get all angry and fired up? Like, I delete those people from my life because they're visiting something on you that you weren't experiencing before, right? Like all the angry people in the world. Like, that's a whole other level of how do you separate yourself from that, not get caught
up
in it.
It's like I went on a news diet like 10 years ago, so I don't watch the news anymore.
Me either. Do you ever find yourself embarrassed that you don't know the things that happened?
A little bit, but then the reasons why I stopped doing it then kicks in and...
Do you tell people, like, sorry, I don't know about that thing? Well, I usually just pretend that I know about it.
No, but if it's important, someone will tell you about it.
Totally.
But then you skip all of the negative stuff that...
Yeah. Yeah, I was at a workshop this weekend. It was with Martha Beck. She's amazing. She's a Harvard professor. She was a Harvard professor, sociologist. But their whole thing was only because we have phones and, you know, 24/7 news cycles and everybody... you know, connected and dialed in, do we have any sniff of the like catastrophes happening in the world? We wouldn't even know about them in the, you know, if we didn't have this like massive connectivity. And it really, the stuff that people talk about has zero impact. They can have zero impact on it in the moment. So why are we worrying about it? Why are we, like here we are sitting in Canada. Everybody's talking about the US election right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I guess it does have a massive impact, but like we can't change it. So No. Like, let's not talk about it really, right? Anyway, how do you deal with that stuff?
But that's why we're here.
Oh, right.
True.
So I'll do something with you guys and see if... But fear drives everything. I mean, if fear's there, it's the first thing that neurologically we have to respond to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you hear the news, what do you hear? Happy stories?
No, it's terrible. Negative.
No, it's terrible, yeah. Right? It's all the fear first, anger. All these things are pushed out there, and we have to respond.
Yeah.
By us responding, it's their ratings. By their ratings, you have a financial... That's all part of the whole process.
Yeah. And it's like a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle. Now, the thing is, we have programs that are running internally in all of us. Okay? And it's based on past, the way we grew up, the impacts of things that happen in our lives. It's all part of our internal representation system. And when we don't ask questions, or when we don't think about who we're with and the conversations that we have, it's easy to get caught up and pigeonhole something. You guys did it at the beginning with the dancer. It's like, bump. Okay, where did
we
that come from?
We judged the dancer.
Right, judgment came, right? I did it too, but it's like, that came from somewhere. It's internal in terms of how I perceive the situation. as I added more facts to it and asked the questions, all of a sudden there's a different reality that got created, which is what you're seeing in terms of shifting the mindset.
Totally.
Okay, so I'll say the story and see where you guys go with this, okay?
This would be fun.
So I called my my friend Jimmy, and his daughter picked up the phone. And this is what it sounded like. Hello. I said, hi, Frenchie.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine.
Is Daddy home?
Yes.
Can I talk to him?
No.
Why not?
He's busy.
Okay.
Well, is Mom home?
Yes.
Can I talk to her?
No.
Why not?
She's busy too.
Well, is there anybody that I can talk to?
No.
Is there anybody home?
Yes.
Well, who's there?
The police.
Can I talk to them?
No.
Why not?
They're busy too.
Well, what's everybody so busy doing?
Looking for me.
No way.
Okay, so now watch. So it's a cycle, right? So I gave you guys some information at the beginning. So Dad's busy, okay? When Dad was busy, what were you guys thinking? What was he doing?
Working.
Yeah, working.
Working.
Or watching TV.
TV.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm
sleeping.
Adding.
Sleeping.
Know. Right? So everybody says something different, right? But the thing is, now I'm adding a fact. Now Mom's busy. Now what are you guys thinking?
I'm worried about her.
Okay. So now worry comes up, right? First, it was just information, might be sleeping. But now you're worried.
I'm like, she's whispering.
So worry's coming into your mind.
Yeah.
What was going on? Mom's busy.
Well, I was thinking, like, what's going on with the call? Like, why is she whispering? Yeah.
Why is she whispering? Okay. But you're questioning. Okay.
Yeah.
Now the police are involved. What are you thinking?
Yeah, something bad happened.
Something bad. So now it's like, I'm worried now for sure something's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what? Why are the police there?
Yeah, police don't show up on good days.
Okay, but all you hear is police, right? But if you stop there, you're just going to continue worrying because it's an internal, that's how you're perceiving what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is how we work in life, right?
Because we can only deal with the information at the time,
They're having sex. They're having really loud sex and the neighbor's called.
Really? That was what showed up for you? Of course.
But I'm just, it's an example, right? I mean,
obviously
we're doing it quickly now, but everybody comes with a different construct. So what happens now, here's information that comes in, we respond. Judgment, boom. Anger, boom. Fear, okay?
Yeah.
And the automatic response now locks people into an ideal. If you get enough people stuck there, all of a sudden now it becomes the norm.
Yeah.
And then society says, this is what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
It's like, hold on a second here. What happens if we have the ability to stay with a couple of people, ask some pretty relevant questions, and then add more information into the mix? Now you're going, huh, did you ever think about this?
Yeah.
Add a third thing, and now you actually discover a reality that may or may not be supported, but at least you're asking those questions. Most people in society right now do not ask good questions.
Yeah. No, and yet they overexpose themselves to things that don't actually matter. Like if I had one... because we should wrap up soon. What about, so my one or two takeaways from this conversation would be that stress is part of life and it can be a good thing. Have the right tools to sort of set yourself up for managing those difficulties. And then in the moment, there are some things you can do to create some space between yourself and the trigger event, so that you can calm your nervous system and deal with it better. But by and large, like, stop watching the news. That would be like right? And then maybe all things, me too. Like, that's so funny. I did not know this about you guys, but I'm not surprised.
But this is the mental piece. This is the mental piece. What are you putting in your brain? Right? You're talking about books. I'm talking about books.
And
we're talking about the news.
People and growth.
No.
Yeah.
Right? So this is what you're feeding your mind. You're feeding your soul. We're doing things to support us at a deeper level. Now, with the growth comes the stress. And sometimes we get dinged in life, but we have the opposite of saying, but we're moving towards something.
Do you know what? I just realized, you know, we talked last week or whatever in our first podcast about why we're doing this. And that might be one of the reasons that we're doing this, because this conversation and this sort of focus, like, this is a good filter to expose your day and your life to people who are thinking about these things and not trying to win a race or you know, whatever, right? So to me, I think that's a good way to wrap, maybe.
It's fun vibes.
This is what
this podcast is all about. Come to our fun vibes party.
That's right.
And maybe one, I mean, for me, just one takeaway would be how you start the day. So I don't have the phone by me, because I realized that the first thing I did when I woke up was open WhatsApp or open things, and then I'm playing Russian roulette with my happiness because I don't know what I'm going to see.
Totally.
So I don't have the phone next to me, and then I go through the ritual of appreciation and the things I did well the day before, and then I start with the things that I can control, which then creates my state of mind.
Yeah.
And then I'm in a position where I can deal with something, whereas if I wake up and that hits me immediately, it's like, oh, I'm starting the day on the back.
I have fallen victim to that more times
but
than not.
Most do, right?
Yeah, I got
to
be better.
I open my phone to James Prince. It makes me happy every day.
It's a happy thing.
And he's 8 hours ahead.
You know,
so
we need
like,
a new channel. We need a new channel so it's not all the other WhatsApp messages that come through.
It's
like,
just,
we
it's
just need
us.
The three of us.
Yeah,
that's right.
Maybe not.
All right. Well, I think that's a wrap for this one. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Right on.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.